I'm joined now by Clint Curtis, who is running for Congress in Florida's 24th Congressional District. That's a district that's closer, much closer to the east coast of Florida than it is to us here. But he's here in the Bay Area to show what he says is, are the problems with our voting machine system. He's a whistleblower who testified to Congress under oath regarding a request from Congressman Tom Feeney, before he was a congressman, to build a computer program that could, without detection, flip your vote in an election. Clint Curtis, welcome to WMNF. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me, sir.
So you're a computer programmer by profession?
Yes.
Who did you work for?
Worked for Yang Enterprises. I've done contracts for NASA, ExxonMobil, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Florida Department of Transportation, Florida Fish and Wildlife, and on and on and on.
How did Tom Feeney, before he was a member of Congress, come to you, and what did he ask you to do?
Well, back in 2000, I was working for this company in Oviedo, Florida, and I was the programmer, basically the only programmer in there. We had a few over at NASA, but I was the only in-house, and so I was the technical consultant. And at the same time, Tom Feeney, who was our chief lobbyist, our head attorney, and just luckily enough, the incoming Speaker of the Florida House, was he would come in and he would basically tell us what they were thinking about doing or ask us what we could do, and he could feed contracts to us, you know, standard Florida stuff. And this was near the beginning of the time that I met him, one of the first, maybe second meetings, and so I didn't know that he was ethically challenged or anything at that point. And he came in and said that he wanted a prototype for a voting machine that would be able to basically flip the votes so that you could program it to decide who won any election. And he wanted three specific things. He wanted it to be touchscreen capable. He wanted it so that you didn't need third-party devices. You didn't have to sit across the street or actually physically hack the machine. You could just go right to the screen. It's all internal. And he wanted the actual manipulation to be hidden in the source code, which at the time I told him you can't do that because if you see the source code, that's the instructions the computer follows. People are going to notice the math. The only math in a voting machine is you should add one to the total based on who got touched. Not you should look through the totals and divide by 51% and, you know, add things together. So you can see that. And then the owner of the company stepped in and said, you know, we'll build that. We'll show it. You know, you can show it to whoever you need to show it to, because he always brought things in he would show to people. Mm-hmm. Was basically the way it was.
Which company were you working for at the point that he made this request?
That was Yang Enterprises in Oviedo, Florida.
All right. Is that a Chinese-owned company?
The owners are Chinese.
All right.
And, in fact, that's where the person that was convicted for sending Hellfire missile chips to China, he was working right with me at the time.
When he made this request, when Feeney made this request to you, what did you do? Did you do it?
Of course, because in computer programming, you build things to break them, because if you don't test the break, you don't know how to fix them. So my assumption, since I was a Republican and he was a Republican and the company was Republican, and, you know, in my feeble mind at the time, I thought, well, that made us the good guys. So I thought, obviously, that he knew something about the Democrats were going to try and spring this machine. Remember, Bill Clinton was in office at that time, not anyone else. So I thought that was the ploy. So I built it, and along with what you would need to do to stop vote fraud. So you need to be able to see the source code, make it so everyone could look it over. You need to be able to make it print out a ballot so that you could actually physically have a piece of paper that you could then audit against the machines. Because if you do that, it doesn't matter if you flip the vote. The paper's going to tell on you, and you can go back and do a manual audit. So it's really easy to prevent it. Handed that in to Mrs. Yang, and she says, you don't understand. We need to hide this manipulation. This is for controlling the vote in South Florida. Right, blatant. We're going to fix the vote, and there you go.
All right. Now, so this is before the 2000 election of November, the presidential election. This is, what, in the summer, the spring of that year?
This is end of September, early October.
Okay. Now, at that point, most of the country, or at least most of Florida, is using the punch card ballots with the hanging chads. We weren't even thinking, at least most of us weren't thinking, that we might want to switch to an electronic voting machine. Why would he have you work on this particular machine? And South Florida wasn't using punch cards at
the
time.
Well, apparently you weren't thinking, but apparently he was thinking. So, because electronic vote fraud is great. If you want to cheat, you can make it so that you can never detect it. It's nice and clean. You don't have to have 80,000 dead people voting like Chicago. And if you write it so that you cannot ever audit it, which is basically what's on our books now, you can never get caught, and you can affect the nation, a national election, with a couple punches of a button.
So you developed the software that would do this.
Right. And the rules on what you would do to stop it.
As the developer, do you get royalties for this sort of thing?
You would think, but I think that's an at-work situation.
Do you have any reason to believe that in the touchscreen voting machines that we use today, that the software, either your software or something similar to that, is being used?
Well, it sure seems to be. First of all, why write the law so you couldn't detect it? And then whenever someone tries to come up and ask, just shut them out. Well, that's a conspiracy theory. You don't need to see how the voting machines work. We'll tell you. Just trust us. Why would you trust something like that? You wouldn't trust your bank account without getting a receipt. If you put your money in the bank and they wouldn't tell you how much you had until they were ready, would you put your money in the bank?
Well, now tell us how this actually works. Let's say that we're at a precinct and there's 2,000 or 3,000 voters. What do you think if these voting machines, electronic voting machines, have been tampered with or do have this kind of program in them? How does it work?
All you have to do is you go up, you hit the combination on the screen. You could also do this with timers. You could do this with – there's a lot of ways to make it function. You know, if you wanted to put in a patch right before an election, you could just go ahead and program it ahead of time so that it found the particular name, searched them out, and made the election work for you. It's real simple to do. But on my particular prototype, you went up, you hit the certain combination, it would then set the flag, and it would flip the vote, and it would cascade down to any machine that was connected to it. So the entire precinct, if you have them all plugged into the wall, would be connected. And then you just cascade down and you're done.
Well, what would you tell it to do? I mean, these things that you're typing in, what are you typing in?
Actually, you're selecting whether you want the R on mine. You're selecting whether you want the person labeled R or the person labeled D to win in a particular race. So you could go through and pick a particular race. You go through and pick 50 races. You hit it because everyone is not, you know, a lot of people think, well, I program my own machines. I put in the names and the order. How do they know how to flip it? That shows you that they don't know too much about computers because the names don't mean anything to a computer. Everything is an array index, just where you put the name. So when you select on the screen, it attributes that to a number that is internal to the computer. That's the way a computer works. It's not flipping an election for Fred Smith. It's flipping an election for number 173.
Mm-hmm.
And when you program him to be 173 is when it matters to you. To the computer, he'll just flip it for 173. He couldn't care less.
Well, during elections, who programs computers, though? I mean, isn't it the supervisor of elections and not somebody at Diebold or somewhere out of town? Isn't it the local people that program and say what candidate is going to be assigned what number?
Right, but it doesn't matter because they can assign it to any number they want. When you actually go in there and you flip the vote, you are choosing Fred Smith. The computer sees it as 173 or 172 or wherever the election supervisor put him doesn't make any difference to the computer because you've already selected him. If you did it based on a patch, you could easily search for Fred Smith, find out his number, and you'd be set to go too.
Well, then where does the fraud take place? Does it take place, does somebody who works to subvert elections go in and vote, and then in the process of voting they touch extra places on the screen and then subvert the election? Or
yes.
I'm trying to figure out at what point in the process does the subversion take place.
In the prototype I wrote, that would be the way you would do it. You would actually have someone physically go in, pick who they want to win, and flip the ballot.
And then for that whole precinct, all the computers that are tied into that computer, that touchscreen voting machine, they would all fall in line.
They would all fall in line, and and give you whatever totals that you have written in the program to tell them to give you.
So you'd need people, you'd need conspirators, you'd need people to work with you to go into every precinct.
You need one per precinct in the precincts where it makes a difference, because you don't need to flip everything. In fact, Feeney was very careful with that when in the 2000 election when they were using the exclusion lists, and he was bragging about his police patrols he were going to put out to reduce the vote in the minority areas. Well, he wasn't trying to necessarily beat the entire vote, just soften it down enough that he can win.
How long would you have to stand in front of a computer screen, in front of the touchscreen voting machine, in order to accomplish this nefarious deed?
Second, two. Tops?
Seriously?
Absolutely. It's very simple.
How many strokes, how many times would you have to touch the screen?
Two or three. In fact, you could have the supervisor of elections and every candidate standing behind the voter, and they wouldn't know what happens. I do demos of this. In fact, I'm doing one tonight, and you know, I'll flip the screen, flip one on the screen for them and say, how did I do it? And no one knows.
All right. Well, we're talking with Clint Curtis. He is running for Congress in Florida's 24th Congressional District. That is the seat currently held by Tom Feeney, and he is a computer programmer. He's also a whistleblower. He says that you can easily manipulate touchscreen voting machines. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And Candy Jovan is here. Candy, where is Clint going to be speaking tonight?
He's going to be speaking at the Pinellas Park Library, which is at 7770 52nd Street in Pinellas Park. And the number is 727-541-0718. And that's a Democracy for America meeting.
All right, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. We'll remind people, too. Here's a question that came in via email. While implementing a scheme like this seems much easier than rigging an election on paper, it seems like many people would have to be involved in the process. Wouldn't the manufacturers of the machines have to be involved?
And the one I wrote, the manufacturer of the machine would be involved. Now, the fact that every manufacturer is also a Bush supporter, and one of them even came out and said, I am going to deliver Ohio to George Bush, probably makes it look like they're a little involved anyway.
Now, the manufacturers of these touchscreen machines have been reluctant, as I understand it, to share their source code. Is that correct?
Reluctant or absolutely refusing to would be the way to say it. They just won't do it. And, you know, why not?
Why should that source code be part of what the public has access to? I mean, isn't that proprietary? Isn't that, everybody has their own programs. They program their own computers or electronic machines. Why shouldn't that be proprietary to the owners?
It seems proprietary to the owners for the voting machines, but these companies also produce gambling machines in Las Vegas, which require that the code not be proprietary. Well, it's still proprietary, but it's secret. It's hidden so government agencies and interested parties can go in, review it. They do banks. You would think banks would want to be more secure, but that source code has to be available. So the only thing that seems to require absolute secrecy is counting your vote and then just telling you who won.
What kind of voting system would you like to see in this country?
Well, personally, it doesn't matter whether it's touch screens or scanners or what it is. In fact, even if you didn't get to see the source code, you could live with that if you had to. It's not clean, but you could live with it. As long as they hook a printer, a real printer, not the little toilet paper rolls on the side which can be manipulated, but a physical printer that separates it from the machine, prints out a human-readable paper ballot, and then you audit that ballot against the machine, you know you've had a fair election. Because then everything is separate. You have two books. You know when you've been cheated. If the machine, in fact, in North Carolina came up with a law that basically says that's what we're going to have. We're going to have a machine. You're going to print me a paper ballot, and we're going to audit this paper ballot, scientific 3-5%, something like that, against your machine. If it doesn't match, vendor, you get to pay for my recount because it should match. That would give you a fair election.
Is there any county here in the state of Florida that is making progress to make sure that we have some sort of voter-verified paper trail or some sort of other system that you think would give people the confidence that we can trust our voting system?
There is a lot of groups working on it, but the state has systematically pushed out anything that gives you any hope of a paper trail in Florida. Anything. for that reason, and because I'm running against Tom Feeney, and there's no point letting him flip this election and just taking it and saying, see, I won, trust me, I have put together a program which will be able to go national that candidates can sign up for, where people can go register their votes, and I will know precinct by precinct the totals that should match. And if they don't match, I'll be able to contact, well, actually, it's still blind, so I don't really know who the voters are, but I can contact the machine. The machine contacts the voters can get hold of me, and then we will have people's names tied to voting intent and show that it did not happen that way. So we have both legal challenges and recall challenges, and that will basically provide democracy back to America, at least until we get, you know, a permanent solution.
Now, Ion Sancho in Leon County is in quite a struggle because he's trying to, essentially the big companies are not selling to his county because I think he wants to see the source code, doesn't he? Or he wants to.
Well, actually, he just did the terrible thing of checking to see if, you know, some of the stuff that I was saying was actually true. And he brought in an outside consultant and said, are these things really hackable from the outside? You know, we're already blind to the inside, but can they be easily hacked from the outside? So the consultant sat there, hacked it in about 10 minutes, and flipped the election just using basically the memory cards. So since he took the actual time to do his job and expose these people, now they are all colluding and refusing to work with him. I believe any vendor that works for the state that operates in that fashion should automatically be decertified. There should not be one vendor that's certified that can refuse to work with the county because he exposes security faults.
Hmm. Is there any clean vendor that in the country?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know because can't see the source code, and they're not giving us the paper trail.
Let's take a few phone calls from listeners. You're listening to an interview with Clint Curtis, who is a whistleblower. Our phone number is 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Please go ahead.
Greetings, Rob. Hey, I remember calling you about these issues long ago and back when we had Kurt Browning running for supervisor elections so that we could bring this to the forefront. Every computer expert we'd ever talked to was telling us that all these machines were hackable and not to mention that the whole process is a violation of what should be our rights as voters. We should have access to source code. The process of electing people is supposed to be open to the people .
Hey, so caller, do you have a question?
Yeah, my question is, how can we possibly trust these machines, and why is it that WMNF didn't give more time to this issue when it was being raised by many people that these machines were hackable and unsafe for our usage as voting machines?
Yeah, well, this is our third interview with Clint. I'm not sure I can answer that question, but what can people do about this, Clint?
Well, right now, don't trust the machines. Write to your people and require and beg and ask and whatever you can do to tell them that you want a paper trail. They can't give you one because the state, Jeb and his Secretary of State, is not allowing that to happen. And no matter what you do, they're not going to allow that to happen. They've worked very hard to get this set up.
How do you vote?
What do you mean, how do I vote?
When you vote, how do you vote?
Well, I vote absentee, but that doesn't mean they count it because there's no mechanism in place to make sure they are. So we don't have that warm and fuzzy. You know, if they're just sending it through a scanner, scanners can be hacked just as easily as the touchscreens. It's the same basic routine that does a tabulation that makes it work. So that doesn't really work.
Is there anybody in Congress or in the state legislature here in Florida who's suggesting a change to the voting system that you like? I mean, is there anybody pushing for legislation that would do the kind of reforms that you're talking about?
Well, Rod Smith, he's running for governor now here, has put forward a bill to try and do that. I have heard it is being killed. So I guess that's a yes-no.
All right. Well, let's take maybe one or two more phone calls for our guest, Clint Curtis. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Please go ahead. Yeah.
All right. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I really appreciate your guest today, and I see he's very informative. I was wondering, do you know how to install right-to-left alphabet into a computer? I know it's not really totally related to what you're talking about, but I was wondering if you knew how to do that, and I would even pay you to show me how to do it, because I'm trying to educational program that will help to discourage unethical behavior and criminal behavior in the inner cities and stuff like that. And I was wondering if you knew how to...
If you're writing it in VB, there's an in-string function, and it will actually read it from reverse. So it will read it from right to left. If you are writing it in an old version of VB, you can actually just parse the characters down and then start at your back character and read it backwards.
Okay, hey, all right. I'm not really that versed on computers. I'm kind of learning a little bit. So I might not understand all the terminology that you're using. But if I show up at your event tonight in Pinellas Park, could you, give me a little bit more detail or something like that?
Sure. I'll walk you through it.
Hey, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And what's the address again?
It's 7770 52nd Street. In Pinellas Park, and bring a friend.
What's the building, Candy?
It's the Pinellas Park Library.
All right. Caller, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good to hear from you. And let's take one more phone call for our guest, Clint Curtis. Well, that person dropped off. Clint, we didn't really bring you here because you were running for office, because there might be a handful of people in our listening area that have the choice to vote for you or Tom Feeney in this election. But if people want to get in touch with you, find out your website, maybe find out more about the charges that you're making, how can people find out more?
Well, the website address is www.clintcurtis.com, and that'll tell you everything you need to know. We have a lot of volunteers and a lot of contributions from actually all over the world. We have them from Hong Kong. We have them from Czechoslovakia, U.S. citizens living overseas. So if you want to contribute, you can go there. They'll take care of that, too. If you want to volunteer, we're doing a lot of Internet stuff. So the fact that you live in Nevada is just as easy if you lived right in Orlando.
All right. We have a lot of listeners online in New Mexico and Nevada and other places around the country, too. Candy, again, where is Clint speaking tonight?
He's speaking at the Pinellas Park Library at 7770 52nd Street in Pinellas Park. And the telephone number is 541-0718. And right. That's at 7 o'clock.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating topic, and I guess we still feel like we haven't gotten to the bottom of what happened in 2000, nor have we gotten to the bottom of what happened in 2004. People still feel a bit unsettled.
But once we get democracy back, then we can start looking into it for real.
Clint Curtis, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. This is 88.5 FM.